Hi, everyone. Welcome to Nancy's Metaphysical World and More. Today, I have a great guest on. Actually, I was reading her book, and it's quite interesting, and we're going to talk about her book. But first, we're going to talk about her. Her name is Daya. So, Daya, welcome to the show.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here, Nancy.
Now, I'd asked you originally to please give me your whole name because I didn't want to say it wrong. So please give out your entire name.
Okay, sure. Daya Devi Doolin.
Okay.
D-E-V-I.
Uh-huh. Okay, good. That Devlin in there kind of got me, but that's all right. Now, you're an author, and you're also known as a thought doctor and an angel. And you and your husband actually work together, which is kind of rare in today's world because most couples have a hard time talking to each other, let alone working together. Mm. But you guys have been very successful with that. So let's talk a little bit first, Daya, about yourself and what prompted you to start the journey that you actually have been on for, you know, probably most of your life, but really come in forefront, you know, really very strong lately. So tell our listeners a little bit about who you are.
Sure. I was married before Chris. Chris is my husband now. And I was, each year I went through the marriage, I was ready to get a divorce because of how I was being treated, how I perceived myself as being treated. And I finally, after having a child with him, I finally got the message that I needed to speak up for myself and believe in myself, and I had no like real models to see how to speak up for myself, because I was always taught that what I had to say and share was unimportant or wasn't believed, or it just, what I had to say, you know, didn't matter. So I took that false information into the marriage that I was in before. And when I finally divorced and heard to divorce and heard to leave, I was out on my own raising my son at that time, my first son. And as I was going about having goals for myself and desires and dreams and things like that, I found that in order to earn a living and increase my income, I found that some of my goals came pretty easily to me,
mm-hmm.
and some didn't. And the ones that didn't is what prompted me to where I am today, because I wanted to know, and I asked God, I wanted to know what kind of formula was I using in order for the goals to be met that I had reached, and what was I not doing in that formula to not accomplish what I wanted to accomplish. And one was, I always had wanted to be a notary public, because I felt like the income I would get from that would be just would be like put me over the top of what I wanted to earn for my son and I. So I got my answer as I perceived and grew in consciousness. I got my answer that the reason why my goals weren't being met, the ones that I thought I really wanted to be met, is because I didn't believe. I didn't have any trust. I didn't have any faith. I didn't see how. And I learned that I don't need to know how, just to trust and to believe and to act when I was told to act through spirit. And then I would see the results like I saw when my goals were being met. But I didn't see the correlation until, you know, like the different stages that I had to go through in getting this information from spirit. So as I moved along and gathered more information from spirit, I found out that basically the law of attraction was what I was not taking advantage of, in the sense of I was focusing on what I didn't want rather than focus on what I wanted. And the reason why my goals were being met with the other goals is because I kept my focus there. I believed. I didn't question how. I didn't have any mistrust or doubt that it would take place. It just was a given with those in those instances. So that has basically brought me to where the path that I've been on all these years, and that's getting to the bottom of getting to the bottom of releasing these doubts and illusions and disbelief thoughts and things like that relating to that.
Diane, don't you think that a lot of people in today's world are having a very tough time believing in anything, let alone that they're actually, you know, can have their hopes, dreams, and desires? You know, I think mostly because people continue to listen to the media. They continue to listen to other people's negativity. They don't go inside themselves enough. Would you agree with that?
I sure would. And that's basically why Spirit has had me to write the books that I've written in a very simple way, to show how the steps that I've taken in consciousness, the steps I've taken in releasing certain thoughts in order to be where I want to be in my thinking and my life. And people seem to want, like you say, with the news media, people seem to think that they can't give themselves to permission to think a different way, to think another way, a way out of the box that, you know, we're kind of being told that we're in a box.
Mm-hmm.
And we really, you know, we have a lot of good authors who are doing this, and they're doing it on their level to reach certain levels of thinking, to raise the consciousness of everybody. And then there, you know, there's all levels of thinking that we're all involved in, and everybody has their part to play in relating to one another here.
Now, you wrote a book called Super Vitamins, How to Stop Saying I Hate You to Yourself.
Mm-hmm.
What prompted you to use that title?
Well, Nancy, the Holy Spirit, number one, is my guidance with the White Brotherhood, the Ascendant Masters. They're all, I've opened myself up to their consciousness, to their guidance, and their words telepathically and spiritually. And so in listening, these are the answers that I've been given, and the title was given to me, and the subtitle, How to Stop Saying I Hate You to Yourself, was given to me. And it was based on the fact that when I used to do temporary work in Massachusetts, people would share their feelings with me more readily than they would with the people that they worked with, the other employees, because I found out that they felt like I wasn't going to be there and I wasn't going to be sharing what they shared with me. So they shared a lot of things with me, and many of the things were all about their hatred. Basically, the bottom line was that they didn't like themselves, and other people didn't like them, and they were like little squabbles, little cliques going on. And I knew then that when you think badly of yourself, it's going to be reflected back at you by the way you act towards people and the way they see you thinking about yourself. But once you change your image and the perception about yourself, people start responding to you in a different way, a way that is more loving, a way that's not judgmental. And so that's basically where the title and the subtitle came from.
See, I think it's very important for people to understand just exactly what you've said, that they, you know, get themselves all caught up in what other people have said, or, you know, maybe mm-hmm. they don't like the way they look, and so they're constantly beating themselves up. And so when I'm doing my counseling, I tell people, mm-hmm. people are going to treat you the way they see you treat yourself. So if you want to be treated better, then you start by treating yourself better first.
Yeah.
And people are amazed because it's like, well, they're going to think that, you know, I have this big ego or that I'm selfish.
Mm-hmm.
So what would you answer to that?
I would say that it's not about anything outside of yourself, manicures or pedicures or, you know, designer clothes. It's not about any of that. It's how you speak to yourself, how you relate to other people. And one of the things in changing your perception about yourself is to be giving. Stop worrying about what you don't have or what you don't look like. Just start be giving and give yourself compliments. That's what I would say. And be grateful for every single thing that you've been given through spirit, through another person, or any way you've been given something. Just be grateful for everything. Because I know you know and you probably share, when you stop thinking about yourself or stop worrying about certain things, I don't know, there's any number of millions of things you could worry about, but if you stop claiming something that you don't want in your life, physically or spiritually or mentally or whatever, then you can start thinking about and doing and giving of yourself and giving to others of yourself. And they'll be seen, you'll be seen in a different light, and you'll have a lot of friends. You get probably a better job, better pay. Many opportunities will just come your way, and you won't even be specifically looking for them. What you're specifically looking for spiritually is to always be open to the truth and guidance. So that's what I would say.
Mm-hmm. I think people have a really hard time believing within themselves that they can have everything they want. They can, you know, create their whole scenario. They can, you know, not have money problems. But they have mm-hmm. to get out of the I don't want, I don't like, I hate kind of mode. And again, I look around at people's energies and stuff, and mm-hmm. I see there are a lot of people who are struggling. And yes, there are many, many books out there to help people. But they have to do their part by picking up those books and reading them and then
yeah.
following through.
And then applying, yes. Uh-huh.
Yeah. And yeah. people have a hard time doing that because somebody will say, oh, I found this great book, and it did da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And then the next person goes, oh, well, that's great. But they don't think that if they went and got that same book and they practiced that same thing, they could be telling everybody else how great it is and how easy it is. People, to me, make life a lot harder than they need to make it. And they wallow yeah. in that victim mode. And, you know, it's, again, and I have to say, we have, as a nation, basically been raised as victims in that mode. And people have the hardest time trying to understand that they don't have to be the victim. They don't have yeah. to carry that with them. Now, your last book that I got, actually, it's called The Way In, The Only Way Out Is In.
Mm-hmm.
And I looked at the title and I thought, I wonder if people would understand what she's talking about just by the title, you know. But, mm-hmm. I mean, I do because I think a lot mm-hmm. like you do. So the title made perfect sense to me, you know. And then the under part of it is the secrets of the 14 realms of love, happiness, and success. You know,
mm-hmm.
so to me, people would look at the secret part, you know, of the 14 realms and not really go back to the only way out is in, but they look at that, oh, I can have happiness, I can have love, I can have success. Somebody's going to tell me how to do this,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I think people just assume that if they read it, and I have to say if, that it's all going to be okay.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I think people have a very hard time doing the follow through, doing the practice part of it, believing. And those three things are the basics to make anything work that they want, at least I think.
Yeah, yeah.
And so, I mean, I went through your book. You have a lot
mm-hmm.
of good stuff in there. And, again, the name of the book is The Only Way Out Is In, The Secrets of the 14 Realms of Love, Happiness, and Success.
Mm-hmm.
Now, before we go any further, please mm-hmm. tell the listeners how they can get your books.
Oh, sure. My husband and I formed a company called Paterand Publications back probably around 1981, based on a dream that we had, specifically myself, but we both dream and we both share our dreams and have written a book about dreams. Well, in the dream, the name of this biblical town was called Padan Aram, and then we found out in a later version of the Bible that it was Paderan, and so we knew someday we would call we would have a business or something that we were going to be using that name, only we didn't know. So the name is spelled P-A-D-A-R-A-N, Paderan, and the website is www.paderan.com, and that's where many of my books and our CDs, we were songwriters as well. So people can go to that website and order, any book.
You talked about you also write children's books. Mm-hmm. What kind of children's books have you written?
They're metaphysical books. They're fun metaphysical books. And they help a child to use their imagination and just go for it. Just don't be in a box of how you have to think. The characters in my books, they're called Dabney, and Dabney is a 4 foot high, you could call her a lady or a girl, or she looks like an 8 or 9 year old, but she's actually a very wise young lady, and she could be 50 and you wouldn't know it. I've got the drawings, the illustrations myself, and Dabney has an Uncle Bark, and Uncle Bark is an interplanetary spy. It heads an intelligence agency. And he sends Dabney on these incredible, adventuresome trips. And he sent her a terrestrial pet 1 year, and his name is Dormk, D-O-R-M-C-K. So Dormk goes with her on these trips, and Wiggles, her little dog, goes on these little adventuresome trips. And the characters have all revealed to me, all I have to do is ask them, what do you want to do? Where do you want to go? What do you want to say? What do you want to do? What problems do you want to solve once you get into a situation? How are you going to solve it? And they just reveal everything. So it's just pure magic in writing these stories. I remember one little boy was just so enthralled with all the stories that he drew pictures of the characters that they met on these adventures on different planets. So I included his drawings in one of my books. And it's just one of the creatures, or a group of the creatures, are called the Sanhedrin, and there are these beings that live under the earth, and whenever they feel the vibrations of something on the ground, they come up out of the ground real fast, and they pull the creatures, or, you know, could be anything, down under the ground. And then there are creatures that fly, they're called skeeches. And so they come along. Sometimes they help people when they see that they're coming into this territory of the Sanhedrin. So they give me the answers of how they want things to work out in the end of the book. Books.
See, and I know that you call them children's books.
Yes.
However, I think it would be good books for adults to read. Because
yes.
One thing that I have noticed is that adults have lost their imagination.
They are
so stressed and so worried and so uptight that they can't see basically beyond their nose a lot of times.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like I moved to New Mexico to open a school. It's called the School
mm-hmm.
of Now. And it's a K through high school, a live-in, and a day school both. But I did it for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've watched the ADD, AD thing escalate to just, to me, stupidity, you know, just very dumb with the way they're doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And the school would be designed so the children can actually use their imagination and they can be all they can be and not be, you know, corrupted by the drugs that they shouldn't be on.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm very much into the children because, to me, you know, unless the adults start to wake up, which I'm hoping that they do very soon, the
mm-hmm.
children are really going to be the ones who put this world back together.
Uh-huh.
And for the children to be all they can be, use their imagination, know that they can have whatever they want, it is a teaching for adults. So your children's books, I believe, would actually help out adults. So they may want to get them.
Yes, they might want to. I'm telling you, Dabney, they go on a space space trip through with spacecraft. That's what I was trying to get to. And so there's no place, you know, that Uncle Barn could not or would not send them. And they always say yes. They have a special little room where this red light comes on, and she goes in there and gets the directions, and he doesn't tell her everything that's happening because I think she would probably not go.
Uh-huh.
So he gives her just so much information, and she's got to figure out things as she goes along. So it would be just, you know, if adults would read these for themselves, really, they could probably teach themselves how to come out of the stressful nature that they feel like they have to be in. They just, like you said earlier about the news media and all kinds of things related to that, people don't give themselves permission to just be and enjoy and to be like with the now that you were talking about, the school.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be present. You just can't be in the future, and you can't be in the past worrying about things that might happen that will not happen. Unless, you know, you put that much force and energy into it. It's just incredible.
Yeah, it is. Your new book, The Only Way Out Is In,
mm-hmm.
I read it, and it's actually a very good book.
Thank you.
And what's really funny is, you know, any authors that send me books, I read their books.
Mm-hmm.
I found out that most interviewers don't read people's books. They just get a bunch of questions sent to them, and that's what they ask.
Oh.
I don't like doing it that way. Because there may be something in the book that I think, you know, people might want to hear about and stuff like that. So when I interview other authors and they say, you know, do you want us to send questions, I tell them you can send them, but it doesn't mean I'm going to use them.
Great.
But your book is really very unique because you used a lot of your own experiences in the book. You know, not that it's a total autobiography, but it is part of an autobiography from what you have done and what you have learned.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you talk about how you're constantly directed by the higher teachers, you know, the guides, whatever you'd like to call them. When that's going on for you, are you very conscious of what you are feeling or saying, or is it just kind of channeled through you, and as it's channeled through, it's just written down?
Mm. It's many, many ways, Nancy, like... Golly, before, I have a younger son, he's 15 now, and before he was even born, I was gifted with the presence of Kuan Yin one night when I was meditating. I was sitting in my bed, meditating, and she appeared to me at the foot of my bed with a satiny blue gown and robe. And just the holiest of presence. And she basically, you know, I can go into the detail, but basically she told me that I was going to have a child. And we had tried unsuccessfully for 15 years to have a child through different, you know, we went through different methods. And when she appeared, it felt like, you know, getting back to the feeling, well, it felt like I had just won, or maybe told that I had won, let's say, $100 million or something fantastic. Just, I could not, the energy and the frequency that she was portraying was just like, I couldn't put into words, but I did my best. And sometimes it's like that, and like when, Ezekiel, he's one of my guides and presence teachers. He has a presence, and Christ has a presence that is just overwhelming. The throat, my throat chakra gets very hot. It gets, the pulsations are very high. The frequency of the pulsations are very high and fast. And, it brings tears to my eyes. I start sobbing sometimes. That's how I relate to their presence. With Saint Germain, when Saint Germain speaks with me, I write down what I'm hearing. But, you know, it just seems like each frequency is different, but I can't really describe it other than a presence. I feel the presence, I feel the vibrations, and mostly I feel the love that they have for me, that they presented themselves to me. And so sometimes I'm asked if I would be quiet and sit down and write. And so, you know, I get a pen, or Chris, my husband, will get something if he's with me, and he'll write while I speak, because I want to be present and concentrate on what I'm listening to. And like with Supervitamins, and I told you the title was given to me. Well, that's how that was. The information in the book, I was told that I should write the chapter headings, which basically started with 12. And then the information would just come into each chapter as I worked on each chapter. And so that's what happened. The chapters were filled up after I had the titles, and how it was supposed to be laid out was given to me. I have brief points at the end of each chapter, and that was one of the things that was revealed to me, so that anybody could glance through the book, this particular book, Supervitamin. Mm-hmm. Anyone could glance through it, go through the brief chapters, and decide whether or not they wanted to read that chapter to get more information about it.
You also did that in The Only Way Out Is In. You put...
Yes.
Okay. Which I think is important, because a lot of people, like I said earlier, they will glance at a book, like what you just said, but unless it catches them real quick, they're not necessarily going to finish looking at it. Where at the end, and I looked at them too to see, you know, if it would keep my attention, and they do. It at least makes, you know, people want to look at it and understand maybe what part of their life may not be working for whatever reason.
Mm-hmm.
Why do you think the ascended masters come to you?
I started a pattern years ago, and I don't know why I started it, but I wanted to know all I could know about the healing, the ways the universe could heal or can heal. And so I would get up and sit on the side of my bed before moving on about the day and either meditate, or I would remind myself that today I open myself to the greatest healing powers of the universe. And once I started doing that, then that's when I noticed that I started getting messages and conversations with the Ascended Masters, and the books started coming at that time.
Do you think, Daya, that most people have the ability to allow the Ascended Masters or any higher power to come in, but again, they don't free up their mind enough?
Yeah, I mean, we all have that ability. We just want to... We push things away from us, which are the truth, saying that they're not the truth. We push the truth away from us. We push reality away from us. And then we get into these pickles, and we wonder why nothing is working the way we want it to work out. Well, as everyone is finding out about the law of attraction, things are working out the way you want them to work out, because you're putting that energy and focus upon what you don't want. When we change that around and give ourselves permission to allow God to align with our true thinking, everybody will start seeing the blessings that are already there with them and for them. And they'll see the things that they've asked for. They'll see doors open for them, jobs open for them. And people are proving this today, whether, you know, the world wants to believe it or not. But there are people who don't believe what the hype is going on about a bad economy and a bad this and a bad that. And I've been blessed to work with a group of women, six women across the country, who've written another book called Americans Saving Ourselves Together, How to Thrive Through the 21st Century. And it's our truth it's our stimulus package for everybody to read and follow and apply the techniques in there that we've applied in our lives and that we know work and that we know will help anyone else who's having difficulty. We're in a place consciously because we've chosen to be there, but we don't see that we are the ones responsible for being where we are. And we have to turn that around. We have to realize that where we are is only because we put ourselves where we are in our thinking. And we have to realize that thoughts are things, thoughts are energy, thoughts are vibrations, thoughts are frequencies, and they are form. Thoughts are form. Invisible, but form until they manifest for us because of our belief behind them. Nothing, absolutely nothing presents itself to us in the physical realm without our having thought about being so. And I know people won't believe that because they'll say, oh, I didn't create this. and they find out that, once they look back and they'll see, like you could ask someone that you're seeing right now, Nancy, if there's anyone in their life that they need to forgive. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The answer is yeah. Why haven't you forgiven them yet? Oh, because, they have their own answer. But when they see that forgiveness is the healing cement in our lives, changing over from being unforgiving to forgiving, it just heals everything. And I know people have seen and read about the forgiving nature that people have had towards others who've killed someone in their family or murdered someone in their family, and they've forgiven them, and it's changed that person's life, and it's changed the unforgiven person's life. It's just a simple thing, forgiving, 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 forgiving. And what does it do for you? It frees you to live your life. It really frees you to be who you are.
You also do a technique called rebirthing.
Uh-huh.
Now, a lot of people have heard the term, but I don't believe they know what it means. So can you explain what it is and why it helps?
Yeah. It helps. Well, why it is because when you're in a unforgiving state, you don't take time to breathe. You're in a stress mode all the time. When you're in a fearful state of mind, you don't want to drive, you don't want to go under this bridge because this happened to two people 25 years ago, and so you have this fear and this stress, and then you stop breathing. You think you're breathing, but you're not. You have a fear about going into work because of this boss is like this, or somebody is a bully on your job, and you don't want to be around them, but you have to. Well, there again, you hold your breath and you stop breathing. But when you start breathing and doing a conscious, connected breathing like you have to do in rebirthing, where the breath is in through the mouth and out through the mouth and in through the mouth and out through the mouth and in through the mouth and out through the mouth, you don't have a chance to think and stop and hold your breath, because with a rebirther coach or rebirther, they help you to stay on task of breathing. And so the breathing will do anything like... if there's addictions, the breathing will help clear addictions. If there's fear, the breathing will help clear the fears. If there's like trauma, like when you were born and you have the feeling like my mom, for example, my mom didn't want me, or I was a pain for my mom to be born, and you end up having some kind of sores all over your head because you think that what you thought is true, and it's not. You've just arranged for it to be true in your mind. So the rebirthing helps to get clear of trauma, addictions, like I said, fears, and it's basically because you're breathing for the first time. You're allowing your cells to get all the oxygen that they need, all the cells of the glands, the organs, everything. So You can't help but get better, feel better, see life differently. And I'm more than happy to help people to, you know, get to a new perception of themselves. It really changes lives.
I know it does. Yeah, it does.
I know there's some bad media coverage about it, but of course, that's what media does. It does very well sometimes.
More often than not.
Yeah. You just really have to be open. You know, you have to know, like, if you don't want to watch the news, you don't want to watch TV, you don't want to read the newspapers, just realize, like, you know, a lot of people, they realize, whatever I need to know, I'm going to find out, and I'm going to know it. What I don't need to know, I don't need to find out. I won't find out. Because there's just so much waste going on with what's put out there in the media, and you don't want to take your energy and just get zapped by it or have your peace of mind taken away. You just want to stay peaceful.
And I tell people, first thing in the morning when that alarm goes off and the radio starts to come on, turn it off. Put your feet on the floor and say out loud, very proud, this is a great day.
Oh, yeah.
And breathe. Yeah. Because people don't know how to breathe. You know, not just for rebirthing. They don't know how to breathe.
Yeah, and they don't realize that they don't know how to breathe.
They're not taught the correct way. You know, that's one thing that I think in our makeup, we think if you can take a breath in and take a breath out, you're breathing. Mm-hmm. And I think people are, you know, under that misconception that there's more to a breath than just taking it in and blowing it out. But the rebirthing breathing is different than meditation breathing, because meditation breathing, they have you take it in through your nose and then blow it out through your mouth. Mm-hmm. So why that difference, do you think, Dea?
Because emotions get stuck in the throat chakra, and so when you have your mouth open, it allows that stored or stuck energy, those thought forms that have been held back, to pass through you, pass from your consciousness. That's my feeling.
And then when people are meditating, taking it in through their nose and blowing it out through their mouth, what difference does that do for them?
That's a cleansing breath, pretty much, one way to call it, a kriya, a type of kriya in yoga. It's just a cleansing method of breathing, and it also gets you in touch with the silence. I know you know about the silence, but the silence is where you hear the mouth of God in your mind, and so you allow that to happen. And the same thing happens in a different way with rebirthing, because sometimes you may have a spiritual being come and be in your presence, or a holy being come in your presence while you're breathing, or you may find out that you are the breath in rebirthing, which is a little bit differently. You are silence in the meditation. You are experiencing silence, and you're experiencing the silence of God, or the mind, the mouth of God.
How important is the silence part?
Oh, well, all people have to do is really take 3 deep breaths, and they'll see just what a difference that is just in that short amount of time. So you can find out what that's like, and you don't have to be concerned that you have all these thoughts. But just taking 3 deep breaths, and then you want to take 3 more, and you might want to go like 6 deep breaths and hold the breath for as long as you can. And there's a silence, there's a stillness there right at what's called a zero point, where there's no breathing in and no breathing out. And that's the quietness. That's where you find the holiness, your holiness.
Inside your book, The Only Way Out Is In, you also talk about healings. Now, I know a lot of people believe that they are sick.
Mm.
And they believe what they're being told by doctors. Like when somebody is told, you have cancer, their thought immediately is to go, I'm going to die.
Mm-hmm.
and they're trying to change that, but people themselves, I think, need to change that. So what advice would you give to people, Dea, to try to get their health under control or to be as healthy as they can be?
Gosh, this makes me feel so, I feel so filled because it's a very prevalent thing that people go through, and I feel with them. But people have claimed, for some reason or another, they have claimed a weakness within themselves based on their growing up with parents or foster parents or aunts and uncles who didn't know, who erroneously fed them information about themselves. So they feel like they have to claim something rather than claim the truth of God or the Word of God. And I say, claim your health. You've claimed illness, so claim your health and see what happens. See what happens. Stop claiming I am ill. Stop claiming I am this or that or diseased or I'm a terrible parent. Stop claiming what you do not want. You cannot be what you want to be until you stop claiming what you don't want. Is that?
It does. But see, one of the things I have found with a lot of the consulting I do,
mm-hmm,
is that people, for some reason, think they must be sick in order to have somebody care for them or somebody, you know, do something for them.
Mm-hmm.
And I try to get the people to understand that whatever you're claiming, you will get. Not that the people are going to feel sorry for you or help you with it, because they can't. It
mm-hmm.
lies actually within yourself.
Yeah.
And people have a hard time understanding that. But the ones that do very seldom get sick with anything. And that's a good thing.
Yes. There's some simple things I just want to add if we have time. I don't know
sure.
what time it is. When you claim, like the Bible tells us about Moses speaking with God, and God said that I am that I am. Well, what that really means is I am everything I think I am. I am that I am. If I want to claim that I am well, I claim I am well. And I'm not telling myself a lie. I'm telling myself the truth. But if I claim that I'm ill, then the word after I am, which is ill, has to be. The universe has to supply exactly what we think we are. If we claim I'm healed, then we have to be healed. And it may take you 5 minutes. It may take you 5 days. Before you really believe it and the universe believes and acts on that for you, then you are healed. It's not, I will be healed, because that way you're claiming your illness. You're claiming that that's true. But when I'm healed, I know I'm healed, and I'm not fooling myself. I'm not fooling the universe. I'm not fooling God. The universe and God are aligning with me in my thinking and makes it manifest for me. I have to stop claiming what I do not want.
That's the other thing I always tell people. You already know what you don't want.
Yes.
Now, make the statements of what you do want.
Yeah, and not disbelieve it, because Christ tells us in the Course in Miracles, I know people know about the Course in Miracles, but he says, I can't take your suffering away from you. But when you surrender your suffering to me, then that's what I can help you with. When you surrender, when you decide that you cannot do what you want me to do, when you decide you want to stop being weak, claiming yourself as weak in any aspect, then that's how I can help you. That's basically what's, you know, is repeated in A Course in Miracles.
The other thing that it is repeated throughout history, actually, is that ascended masters, guardian angels, guides, whomever,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
do not get to interfere with our free will.
Yes. Uh-huh.
And I don't think people understand that.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and
we
I
have
think,
to
go ahead.
We have to surrender. We have to be the ones to surrender our mistaken, or they call it right-minded thinking and wrong-minded thinking. The wrong-minded thinking is believing erroneously about ourselves, that we are God and we're trying to, you know, as little ego self, we are God, but all we are, all ego is a sunbeam, a ray, and God the Father is God the Father, the source of everything. We just have to stop. We really, as a people, you know, across the globe, have to stop believing that we are these weak people. We have no power. We are the power. We're made of the One, and there's just no way around it, you know. Till we surrender that littleness that we feel we are, we're not going to see what the greatness that's in store for us.
Which is, again, very, very much true. I believe that, too. Now, in your book, The Only Way Out is In, you also talk about how people can have abundance. Now, everybody's idea of abundance is different.
Mm-hmm.
So can you explain to people how they can have their abundance?
It just, we go back to, what do you claim? Do you claim lack? We have a song, Chris and I, called The White Stone. And it's from the Book of Revelations, where the white stone is our consciousness. And whatever we place in our consciousness, that's what we're going to see as a result manifested for us. So if I claim every day I get up, I claim, golly, another day of struggle. Golly, another day of wondering how am I going to do this or how am I going to get this bill paid. If I claim that I don't know, if I claim that I haven't enough to take care of myself, then that's what has to happen for me. That's what has to be shown for me from the universal mind. Christ mind, which we all have, is there for us to use and call upon. So I claim abundance instead of claiming lack. I see abundance all around me instead of I see lack all around me. I claim abundance. Doesn't matter if it's finances or money or whatever. And so when we claim abundance, do we have enough money to give to other people, or do we have enough of ourselves to give of ourselves? We need to stop focusing on lack and start focusing on abundance. Is that easy? Based on what we see around us, you know, in our own home. It's not easy, but it can be easy when we start doing it every day. We make it hard for ourselves.
Yeah, it's been said it takes 27 days to make a habit, and it takes just as many days, if not more, to break that habit.
Yes.
So
yes.
I think people need to realize that they can't just do it for 1 or 2 days.
Mm-hmm.
They really have to make
and
a commitment.
And say it doesn't work, yes.
Yeah, they really have to make the commitment to themselves if they really wanted to do it each and every day and not stop at 28 days or, you know, 36 days or 60, but on a daily, constant basis. And then I think they will see that everything that you have talked about and we've talked about today is very possible.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but one thing I want people to know who are listening, we all, you, me, Daya, we all go through our challenges. It's not like we woke up one morning and said, okay, I am perfect and this is the way it's going to be for the rest of my life. Our human mind sticks its little 2 cents in there and goes, well, you can't do that. So we all have gone through the same challenges. The difference is that we tend to keep going and we tend to believe that we can. And once you can believe that you can and you keep doing it, you get everything you want. Just like if you keep going, I'm broke. Well, guess what? You're broke.
Okay? It can't be any other way, Nancy.
No.
The universe responds exactly to what we believe, what we focus on. It cannot be any other way. If you want to believe that, then it's going to be established as firm as it is in heaven, which is our consciousness as it is on earth, as it is in our physical realm. It has to be shown to us that way. So why not do something new? and different for yourself this year. That's what I say. Start believing in abundance. Start believing in your own success. Start believing in your own happiness and relationships. Golly. And you'll see, you just see all kinds of things happening for you.
See, and I give out the challenges to people. You know, after we've gone through a whole session and stuff, and I've told them whatever I've had to tell them, I said, okay, now my challenge to you is to prove me wrong, but you got to follow the guidelines that you were given. Okay? And they look at me like I'm crazy. But in the long run, they find out that if they don't limit themselves by what their logic of mind is trying to get them to believe, mm-hmm. and then follow their heart smart part is what I call it, they'll see there's a big change and a big difference. Now, before we have about 5 minutes left. So before we go off, I want you to do I want you to tell the listeners your website so they can find you.
Mm-hmm. Okay. www.padaran.com, Padaran. And that's it. You'll find information about how to get our music, information about the different books that I've written and why I've written them, and who's been involved in any of the books as well.
And now during the last 4 minutes, there was a very interesting chapter in your book about meeting an angel. Because I think miracles happen every day, and angels are here all the time. But can you, like, briefly explain kind of how that went?
Okay. Briefly, the angel that we met, is his name was Smitty. We called him Smitty, Chris and I. And Chris and I met as street musicians in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. And whenever we had any kind of question, whether we were in trouble or we were spiritually troubled, all we had to do was think of Smitty, and Smitty would be right there. He would find us. We wouldn't have any idea where he was. And one instance, we were in an abandoned home because we didn't have money to have an apartment. We were living in a condemned, abandoned home that had no running water, no heat, no electricity, anything. And one of the people that knew us, it was a groupie, he came into the place one night trying to steal our guitars, especially mine. He was admiring my guitar on the streets in the daytime, and he asked me if I would sell it, and I said, no, this is my livelihood. So he came to the house, and we had said through spirit we were going to put the tambourine that I used also on the guitar as an alarm, and sure enough, that night he came in there, and he snuck up. We didn't hear him. He snuck up, and he tried to steal my guitar where he thought it would be. And the tambourine fell on the floor, and we caught him. So we still didn't have a place to stay, so we called Smitty in our minds, told Smitty we needed to get some rest. We had all day to walk around and try to find a place where people could pay for our listening to our music, because we, like I said, played on the street. And so Smitty came. He found us, and he stayed up all night in the chair as we slept on on a mattress on the floor in one of the rooms. And in the morning, he was gone. He was, we saw him and said goodbye. But that's just one of the instances where we really needed him, and he was there. And there's no proof that he ever was alive, which we found out. Golly, that was something. But we knew he was alive.
And that really made the difference. Do you think that everybody has some form of angels around them or some kind of higher being to help them through if they just asked?
Yes, I sure do, especially children. A lot more children, I think, are aware of this than adults are aware of it for them. But, yeah, I sure do. I know when you get quiet, when you breathe and you talk and you're opening up yourself, you get, there are animals that could be your guide. They talk with you. They're beings. So I say yeah.
I do too.
Mm-hmm.
I have a T-shirt that says miracles happen every day.
All
you have to do is watch.
Yeah. They're all around us, yeah. We saw clouds yesterday. that were stretching out and looked like fingers over right hand. Cool. Off my son and I, my son and husband and I, we sure did. We were sitting in the car. It was awesome. And that's one of the things we do a lot, too, and that's watch clouds. Be happy about the sunsets and everything like that.
Okay, one more time. We're actually out of time, but one more time. Please give out okay. your website.
Okay. Thank you, Nancy. www.padaranpaderan.com.
Great.
And it's been my joy to share with everyone, share with you, talk with you, and finally get to meet you, Nancy.
It was my pleasure also. It was very interesting, and your book was very good. I suggest it for everybody to get who is having a problem in any level of their life. It's called The Only Way Out is in the Secrets of the 14 Rims of Love, Happiness, and Success.
Mm-hmm.
And I thank you for taking the time to be on the show. It was very, very enlightening.
Oh, you're welcome. You're very welcome.
And you take care.
Okay.
I'd like to thank you, the listeners. May God bless all of you. I hope that you all have a very safe New Year's. Don't
yeah.
overindulge. Take good care of yourself. Take care of others. Have a great, great New Year, and we'll talk to you on the other side of the year. Take
okay.
care now. Bye, everybody.
Great. Bye-bye, Nancy.
Bye now.
Okay.